Turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Question, what makes you angry? My kids aren't here, so I will say this. It is their bickering on Sunday morning, where one wants the air conditioning on and the other one does not want the air conditioning on. One is cold and one is hot. And by the time that is all over, I may be a little angry. How about someone leaving the shampoo lid off so that it spills all over? Or someone, you know, using your toothbrush and you put it into your mouth and you realize it is wet and someone has used your toothbrush. Ooh. You know, you can learn a lot about people by what makes them angry. Did you know that? I learn a lot about Jesus' heart by what made him angry. Why do I bring that up? I'm going to look at Jesus today and what made him angry. But if I could say, you know, Galatians has been called the Magna Carta of Christian liberty, but really, what we're going to find out is that Galatians is the one epistle of Paul where he is angry. And it exudes from the epistle. And you can learn a lot about someone by looking at what makes them angry. I want to talk about what made Jesus angry first. And then we'll talk about Paul. You would be surprised at what made Jesus angry. By the way, sinners never made Jesus angry. Jesus, God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. A bunch of Christians forget about that. But I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 12. And I want to look at what makes a person angry, because Paul, when he writes this letter to Galatians, is angry. But I want to take a little bit about a look at learning about Jesus, understanding him more, by looking at what made Jesus mad. In Matthew 12, verse 18, Jesus' nature is described. And this is a quote from Isaiah 42 about Jesus in his personality. It says in verse 18 of Matthew 12, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles." Well, now look at that. The Jewish Messiah was to proclaim to the Gentiles that weren't his people. "He will not cry out or quarrel." Well, that's interesting. I guess when you see Jesus, the idea here is that he was meek. It also says this, "Nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets." And that's my problem at the school. I have such a booming voice that they have tried for years to find a room that would be able to contain my voice and not have it bleed over into every other room on the third floor of where they teach. They haven't been able to succeed because I can knock down walls with my voice. My uncle was like that, both of them, and I inherited that. Jesus would have been a quiet man. "A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out." Wow, that's gentle. Because a reed that is almost broken off, you'd have to be very gentle not to go buy it and break it off. And as a matter of fact, a candle, you ever seen a candle that would be going out if you move too quickly around it? It would flicker out. Let me ask all of you football fans, does this mean that Jesus would play football? You think so? A bruised reed he would not break off, and a smoldering wick. I always pose this to people who are great football fans. Would Jesus have played football? What do you think?
Quarterback, okay.
"Until he leads justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope." Well, that's showing us that Jesus was a gentle, loving meek person. So what I really want to understand here is to learn about a person, what makes a person like Jesus angry? This doesn't mean that Jesus didn't get angry. And I found out something very interesting. It was never sinners that made Jesus angry. As a matter of fact, it says in Luke 7, 33 through 35, and I'm going to pick on someone. Mark, would you read Luke 7, 33 through 35 for me? If I've got those verses right.
So John the Baptist came, neither eating bread or drinking wine, and you say he has a demon.
Well, that's because he was an ascetic. He didn't have any fun. His diet was locusts, grasshoppers, and honey. A lot of fiber, but not too good taste. Go ahead.
The Son of Man came eating and drinking.
What do you think he was drinking?
Wine.
That's right, because in the context. So all of the Christians that get too ascetic, better be careful here. Jesus partied, but not like we would probably say the parties go today, but Jesus enjoyed life. Keep going.
And you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.
Okay, now who was the worst person in the world in Israel was not someone who was sexually immoral. Why? Because they gave their money to Rome, and Rome shouldn't get any money in Jewish thinking. And so guess who Jesus is friends with? And what else? Jesus is friends with those people. My friends, yes.
But wisdom is proved right by all her children.
There it is. Now, so I want to ask, if sinners didn't make Jesus angry, he loved people. What made then? Galatians is an angry letter. What made Jesus angry? Well, I'm going to show you what made Jesus angry. I want you to go, first of all, to Mark 3, 5. I found two places that marks out where Jesus got angry. And I want to be just like Jesus, don't you? So I want to not be angry with sinners. Because Jesus didn't get angry with them. Jesus loved them. He associated with them. But here is what made Jesus angry. So I want to get angry where Jesus got angry. Because the goal of all of history is to make us like him. And a story is told in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And he entered into a synagogue. He went to church. Can I call it that? By the way, modern church practice is just like the synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand. Now, what this is a congenital birth defect. In those days, when people were born, it isn't like modern medicine. Many women lost their lives in childbirth, and many times children were stuck in the birth canal, and it resulted in much deformity. There were a lot of people, and a man with a withered hand in that day couldn't depend upon any form of government assistance. He was subject, because he could not work, to begging. How would you like to stand by the road and say, alms for the poor, and depend upon the generosity of some? In other words, this man with a withered hand was like, in Oxnard, people who are out on the street. And they were watching him. Who is they? Well, the they is down in verse 6. And they were the whom? Okay, now the word Pharisee means separated one in Hebrew. And the Pharisees were the religious fundamentalists of the day. Ever heard that term? Now, let me tell you, for anybody visiting, we believe in the fundamentals of the faith at our church. But we want to separate ourselves from this harsh Pharisaical culture that many Christians are like. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He loved people. But just like the Pharisees of old who were the pious, oh, don't touch me. Pharisees wouldn't touch anybody on their way to the temple because they didn't want to get unclean. That means not only Gentiles, but they wouldn't touch a Jew that was not as religiously zealous as they were. They were nuts. And so what they went around is the fundamentalists went around looking to criticize Jesus. Aren't those like that today? They're always doing those kind of things. You know what I mean? They walked right everywhere. They took notes on him. You ever been taking notes on him all the time? Going to get him in trouble? The pious separated ones. Jesus was not holy enough for them. And they were, in verse 2, watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. In order that they might what? Well, isn't that special? Now, Jesus knows this. So you think Jesus was afraid of the fundamentalists? This is my kind of guy. You know, he knows what they're thinking. And Jesus then says to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." Now, that's what I like about Jesus. Jesus saw a man that had to beg. And he knew that this man needed help. And he had a heart of compassion. He says, "Come here." And he said to them, who's the them? It's in verse 6, the who were taking notes on him to accuse him. "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save our life or to kill?" Because Jesus said, "You're a bunch of hypocrites, you fundamentalists." You know what I always, they would, if their ox, which was like their car, got a flat tire, only the ox in the ditch. Because they couldn't farm without the ox. So even on the Sabbath, they would help an ox out of the ditch because they needed it to plow. That was their tractor. Okay? And so he says, wouldn't you take and get your ox out of the ditch on the Sabbath? Why are you faulting me for helping people? By the way, have you ever noticed when I was a little kid we lived in Texas for a while and there were the blue laws and all the areas of the grocery store were closed off on Sunday and all the businesses had to close except for one thing. You know what that was? The restaurants. Why? So all the Christians would go in and make other people work so they didn't have to do anything on Sunday. And after looking around at them with what? You know what made Jesus angry? Self-righteous, mean-spirited, hard-hearted people. You want to make Jesus angry? Be hard-hearted, self-righteous, mean-spirited. Here is a man that had to beg. But the Pharisees, just like all those cultural fundamentalists, we believe in the fundamentals of faith. I don't want to be like this. They had rules that they made up of what you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. The Jewish people made up rules. God said, don't work on the Sabbath. Well, he didn't define what that meant. What he meant was, don't be out plowing in the fields. You know what I mean? Don't be making it a full day of what the Yiddish term is, schlepping. But then the rabbis, the Pharisees, began to write up all the little rules of, don't work. What does that mean? So it meant this, this, this. And they began to add things to it, to expand it out. And they said, if you throw a stone, how far could you throw it? And somebody said, 20 feet. So they said, if you on the Sabbath walked more than 20 feet, guess what you were doing? Working. They had all of these crazy rules. By the way, do you know where we got Boston baked beans from? Because a crazy Boston fundamentalist that said, you can't be working in the kitchen on Sunday. And all the ladies said, amen. So they made her cook double on Saturday. And they made Boston baked beans. You know why? Because you could take it, make it on Saturday and put it in the oven and not have to work on Sunday. That's the history. And so Jesus knows that they see this man that has to beg, and they're hard-hearted, self-righteous, and unmerciful. And what makes Jesus angry? Those qualities. And he looked at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart. You know what makes Jesus angry? Are you hard in your heart? That callousness that doesn't have an empathy and a sympathy for people? That's what this is. I've seen a lot of religious people like that. You know, when we look at people whom the Bible would term sinners, you know what? We should feel compassion. Because so are we when we look at people. Jesus said, he who is without sin may do what? So which one of you going to, which one of us? Come on, I can't pick up that stone, can you? But what made Jesus angry was, sure, God's angry at sin, but guess what? Jesus was a friend of, and what made Jesus angry? Hardness of heart, unloving, uncompassionate, and unmerciful. You want to learn what you can learn a lot about a man. Jesus was so kind and so loving to people. This is what we're to be like. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out his hand and was restored. Wouldn't that, at that point, you see a man with a withered hand, the muscular, everything, because it was just totally atrophied. All of a sudden, you see this hand become completely normal. I don't think it had Popeye muscles on it, but he made it normal. Wouldn't you be frightened of that individual that could do stuff like that? I would. I mean, you sit there and the guy go, just stretch out your hand, and as he stretched it forth, this whole hand became normal. I would not. I'd step away. But look what happens in verse 6. And the Pharisees, the pious, separated ones, went out and immediately began taking counsel with the Herodians against him as to how they might what? There is where religious fundamentalists want to kill everybody. Jesus came to save everybody. You know what made Jesus angry? Hard-heartedness. There's one other thing that made Jesus angry. It makes me angry. I'm ashamed to be a preacher. Why do you say that, Pastor Dave? Because I don't like what I see in preachers. It said Jesus wouldn't break a bruised reed. It said that he wouldn't put out a smoldering wick. But there's one time in which Jesus also, it's recorded, got angry. And let's go there. In John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Verse 12. And after this, after the wedding in Cana of Galilee, where Jesus made 180 gallons of what?
Wine.
Thank you. Let's be biblical, not... Let's be biblical. Bible is against drunkenness, but not against the fruit of the vine. And his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they were staying there, and the Passover of the Jews was at hand. Now, all good Jewish people had to go three times a year to Jerusalem. And so all of the Jewish people all over the world would fly in on LL Airlines. They'd go through security, take their shoes off, make sure they didn't have anything in their shoes and socks. And they'd come from all over the world. And many of the Jews lived in Babylon. Many of the Jews lived in Spain. They lived everywhere at this time. They were scattered everywhere. And so what they would have to do when they got to town was go to the temple. And you can't bring a lamb with you. Rachel has now two dogs. And we're trying to figure out how do we get Rachel and the dogs back from North Carolina. And I said, well, let's just put them in a thing and we'll fly them with you back. No, 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 they won't fly dogs. It's too cold. These are like family to her. So we were trying to... Well, you didn't have the ability to buy a lamb in Spain, in Babylon. You had to come with your Babylonian shekels, come to Jerusalem land, and then the rule was we'll only accept Jewish shekels, we won't accept Babylonian shekels. In other words, there was a currency problem. So everybody's coming in, and Jesus gets to Jerusalem at Passover, which is the great religious celebration in the Old Testament of God's redemption of his people. And at the temple, Jesus comes in And he finds in the temple those who were selling oxen, sheep, and doves. Why were they doing that? Because you couldn't take a lamb with you when you flew in. You had to buy it there. You had to exchange money. You had to exchange your Babylonian shekels for your Jerusalem shekels to buy an animal. And guess what the Jewish priests were doing? This became a big business. Now, Jesus never got mad when people gave their tithes to the temple. That's what they were supposed to do. But what this is them taking and making a business out of God's house and work. By the way, what do we see today in preachers today? Come on. This is what amazes me. You see the Word of God. You see how God, Jesus got angry. What is He going to do to some of these bozo preachers that all they talk about on Sunday morning is what? Well, you can tell a lot about a person. What made Jesus angry was hard-heartedness, unmerciful hard-heartedness, and also you turn God's worship into a profit-making business, and you are going to get God's anger. Look what the meek, mild Jesus does. And he found in the temple those who were making a business, and he made a scourge. Now let me tell you about this. This was a whip. Now wait, this is a bruised reed he will not break, a wick he will not blow out. And all of a sudden, you can tell a lot about a person. He sees this going. You know what they would sell animals that were not, you know, when you bought an animal for sacrifice, it had to be an animal that was without blemish. They were coloring the blemishes with makeup so that you wouldn't know. They were selling animals that shouldn't be sold, and they were making money. And so what Jesus did was, what made him angry? This, he made a whip. Now wait, Jesus didn't whip sinners, did he? He loves sinners. What really made Jesus the angriest was when you mix money with the worship of God. And it made him so angry that he literally made a whip. You mean to do that? You got to be pretty mad. And his authority, by the way, do you think the Pharisees and the temple worship people recognized Jesus' authority? He had to do this twice. John, it's at the beginning, and then he had to cleanse the temple just before his grave, because they didn't stop this business. And he made a whip, and he drove them all out of the temple. How would you like that? We often think of Jesus as being someone, well, how are you all, you know? Whoo, whoo! Get out of here. He overturns the tables. He has righteous indignation. You want to make God mad? You want to make Jesus mad? Be hard-hearted, unloving, unmerciful. Or mix God's worship with money. I don't see Jesus getting mad at a sinner. I don't see him getting mad at the prostitute, did he? I don't see him getting mad at the tax collector. You know why they all said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. These were religious leaders and fundamentalists that made Jesus angry. You can tell a lot about someone by what makes them angry. I want to be just like Jesus. And all you do today is see this in religious people, unmerciful, unkind, hard-hearted, or they mix God's worship with money. And they do this with impunity, and this is what made Jesus mad. Now let's go to Galatians. Galatians is a book written because Paul is mad. You can learn a lot about what makes someone mad. Now, for weeks we've been looking at Paul, have we not? Was he not a religious fundamentalist? He was a guy that was so zealous for the law that he went around anybody that was a Christian that was saying, follow Jesus instead of Moses. What did Paul do? That made him mad. But you know, God has a way of teaching us things. Now he has been saved. And he loves dirty, stinking Gentiles like us. And you know what the delicious irony is here in Galatians? Do you know what these Galatian believers were doing? They were becoming like Paul was before he was saved. They were putting themselves under the Mosaic law. They liked the law, and Paul cannot believe it. Paul knows what he was like before God saved him and how he was zealous for Moses and always keeping, according to the law, he said, blameless. I keep all the rules and regulations. Don't you love people like that? I keep all the rules and I had one guy say in a church, I've never sworn in my life. Well, isn't that special? And he's got a bunch of Gentiles now that are becoming Moses' followers. They're circumcising themselves. They're under the law. Woo. They're keeping rules and regulations. They're keeping the Sabbath. I told you, I embarrass my mom all the time when I was a little kid. Wanted to go swimming with my uncle on Sunday. My mom says to me, you shouldn't go swimming on the Sabbath. I didn't know it at the time. Sunday isn't the Sabbath. And so I went with my uncle swimming, got hurt, and she said, told you shouldn't go swimming on the Sabbath. There's no such rules. Yes, that's your grandmother. Well, I'm in trouble. Okay. So Paul's at a church. All of Galatia decides to become like Paul was before God saved him and get under the law and follow Moses. Who are we to follow today, Christian? Do you know what the word Christian means? Like Christ. You want to make God angry? Don't be like Jesus. Follow some stupid preacher. Follow some stupid theologian or some person. Follow the Lord Jesus. And Paul, I'll tell you how we know he's angry. And we're going to show this next week because I'm going to quit. Every church that Paul ever wrote to, he had something nice to say. I thank God for you, we're going to show you next week. Do you know what he says that he's thankful for the Galatians? Who followed Moses and who went back to the law and thought they could be righteous by keeping rules? You know what he says that he appreciated about them? Nothing. Nothing. The only Pauline epistle. We're going to find out next week. This is the only Pauline epistle where Paul is so angry at their wanting to get under the rules and the law that he has nothing good to say. Mind you, have you ever we haven't studied 1 Corinthians. Have you ever seen 1 Corinthians? They were a mess. He found something nice to say about them. There's hope for our church. But what made Paul mad? Someone that thinks that by rules and regulations they can please God, when you must come to God and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. There's nothing good that I have. I trust the salvation through Jesus Christ in Him alone, and I can give nothing to the salvation that He wrought. He paid for my sins. And they're going to try to be righteous by law. And Paul, next week we're going to show you, he is mad because they've perverted grace and thought through self-righteousness that they could be made right before God. What a delicious irony. Let's